happening now, and today on Seculo, President Trump back in court in New York.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. Unique this time because you will see President Trump is attending court in New York. They allowed, they don't have to allow cameras in the New York state courts, but they have.
At least for a little bit
in the beginning of the court, to the point where the judge, who's obviously never gotten this much attention before, this is the judge that said Mar-a-Lago was worth like $13 million.
Based off a tax assessment.
Which, if you went on Zillow and tried to buy a lot anywhere near Mar-a-Lago, you'd be spending a couple hundred million dollars on an empty lot.
The whole thing's ridiculous.
Not on the water. And certainly not with hundreds of thousands of square feet of property built on it, including a nine-hole golf course, tennis courts, and a country club. To add to that, though, Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York, came to the court today.
She did not sit at the counsel's table.
She sat behind the back of Donald Trump's head.
Yeah,
she wanted to look tough.
But you talk about a show.
It's a show. Yeah.
The judge let the cameras in, so he took his glasses off,
laughingly
did this, and smiled for the cameras, like a schmo. I mean, I hate to say that.
This is a guy who tried to take away Donald Trump's entire business.
Destroy his business.
Yeah.
And what you have to understand, that's exactly what's going on. By the way, on a theory of law that is absurd. No one was harmed. No bank lost money. Every loan was repaid. There were no investors. He owns those properties himself. Some businesses he has partners. None of those lost money. No one is harmed. So in New York, they've got this crazy law, though, not shocking, I guess, that you don't have to have intent to commit fraud. And by the way, in his financial statements, and I, you know, when I represented him, I saw these, there's the normal disclaimer. Do not rely on these. And do you think Deutsche Bank and these other huge financial institutions did not do their own due diligence when they were loading tens and hundreds of millions of dollars? This is absurd. Is it election interference again? Yes. Again, this isn't, you're trying to put the guy in jail so you take away his liberty, and then you try to destroy his business so you take away his livelihood.
Right. I mean, in this one, they're trying to get done exactly like a week and a half before people start voting in places like the Iowa caucuses. They want this case done by December 22nd.
Is that the Iowa caucus votes start?
In January, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, I mean, this case would end right before Christmas, and then you go right into Iowa and after the new year, and you get primaries starting in February and Super Tuesday a month later. So this is one of those cases, again, to try and make it look like Donald Trump's business is somehow fraudulent and wrong. And he's been in business in New York, I don't know, 40 years and never had any issues
before that,
until he became president of the United States.
Well, that's what this whole thing, I mean, the whole if you look at it at the bottom, the whole thing is nothing but an attempt. Look, they don't want him to be the nominee. That's clear. So you go after him criminally. That did not work. They tried it. They brought five big lawsuits. None of that turned into anything as far as political support goes.
Yep.
So then what do you do next? Go after his business, say it's fraud, and do it in New York where the law is I don't have to prove intent to commit a fraud. It's a civil fraud case, not a criminal fraud case. And this, by the way, is a civil trial, not a criminal trial.
Right.
So that's probably another reason why you'll see, and I think the president's going to take the stand.
Yeah, and it's different than criminal. It's about, again, valuations of property, which Lord knows if you no matter what level of property you've ever bought, you know those valuations are based off of market.
Yeah,
and it goes up and down, and interest rates affect it. Interest rates go lower, then prices go up, and interest rates go higher, then prices go down. I mean, that's just part of it.
We need to say that we are launching this month something very special, and today we have a message for a remarkable group of people, and that is our sustaining monthly donors. These are people that give month after month automatically. I just want to take a moment and say thank you. You are the reason why that we're able to do this. You are an ACLJ champion. You're a champion for life, for liberty, and for freedom, and your monthly donations keep us in that fight. We are encouraging you, if you're not a sustaining monthly member, please go to aclj.org/champion. Let's put that back on the screen. aclj.org/champions. And this way, you can, any amount you give, it could be $5, becomes a recurring gift every month for the ACLJ. We're at a battle right now this month, of course, focusing on the Biden administration issues. We're handling all those. But you become an ACLJ champion. You're helping us month after month. We encourage you to do that. Back with more, including your calls at 1-800-684-3110. What do you think they're doing to the former president?
Secular, we are taking your calls too. If you got questions about this one, 1-800-684-3110, because you're going to see images today of President Trump in court. These are not related to the criminal cases that have been filed either in state courts or federal courts. This is a civil case brought by the Attorney General's office in New York. This is alleging that the Trump Organization committed fraud and
inflating the value of assets.
And they want a payment to New York City of $250 million.
And the disgorgement of his businesses. They want to appoint a receiver that will take over the operations of the Trump Organization. Now, let me tell you something, folks, okay? I've never heard of such a, that's fine if it's a racketeering, influence, corrupt organization, a real RICO case, not this nonsense going on in Georgia. But this is the only way you could view this, with a statute that doesn't require intent, does not require that there's harm to an individual. So there's no victim here. So they want to charge a $250 million penalty and at the same time have him not run his businesses anymore and either disgorge all the assets, which means sell them, or have it run by a receiver. This is what the president sent on his way in. Take a listen.
So very simply put, it's a witch hunt. It's a disgrace. We have a corrupt attorney general in this state. You see how she does? This trial was railroaded and fast-tracked. This trial could have been brought years ago, but they waited till I was right in the middle of my campaign. The same with other trials and indictments. It's all run by DOJ, which is corrupt in Washington. Everything goes through them. They're all corrupt people. Frankly, our country is corrupt. And that's one of the reasons I'm running. We're going to straighten it out.
You know, that's a very, you know, the man has more incoming than I've ever seen in my 43 years of practicing law on one person. Yeah. So much incoming. And now the civil suit is to, as I said, the criminal cases, they try to destroy liberty, your ability to be free. The civil suit, they try to destroy your livelihood.
And your children's.
Yes.
That's right. They're going after his two sons as well. Eric Trump and Don Jr. So, again, I mean, and they want this done all by December 22nd. There's going to be obviously appeals here, even to the initial ruling by this judge on that there was already fraud in the real estate evaluation, which was like, I mean, he didn't even look at Zillow. Places that
usually
undervalue property as well.
They took Mar-a-Lago as an example. That's one you're hearing about because the judge said it's only worth $12 million. Now, here's the truth of it. The parking lot is worth $12 million, okay? That property is probably worth somewhere between $400 and $600 million. Houses in Palm Beach, that area, sell for $100
million. Lots are going for $200
million. They based this on a tax assessment. Now, for anybody that owns a home knows that the tax assessment is usually, in some places, 80-90% less.
You wouldn't want that to be the total value of your home.
No, of course not. But that's done because the tax base is lower. So, but what you have here is a concerted effort to try to derail the campaign. So this is a question I was going to ask you, Jordan. And we're taking your calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. And get your reaction to this one. We want to know what you think about all this. 800-684-3110. How is this playing out politically?
Well, so the criminal charges, every time he was charged criminally, he went up in the polls. You would think that the civil charge, where he gets to sit there and you actually see elected Democrats as the ones sitting there smirking that brought this case.
Yeah, when Jordan talks about
he's
smirking,
an elected Democrat as well.
Yeah, he went and allowed the cameras in just for like an opening session, and he takes off his glasses and smiles for the camera like this is some funny thing. It's not.
Yeah, he's a goofball-looking guy who obviously doesn't know a lot about real estate evaluations, but Letitia James is in there too, smirking too and looking like she's so tough.
She ran on doing this. It's exactly. Except what he's right is they waited 3 years to do it. They actually waited, if you look at it, 7 years, okay? They waited 7 years to do it, and now they've done it. Yep. So the question is, politically, how do you think this plays out?
Usually this helps Donald Trump. It keeps him in the news, keeps him front and center. It makes him the number one boogeyman of the Democrats, which makes him the number one choice of Republicans.
With the debate that just took place, and we saw that, so you had the debate, I thought, of course, if you're Donald Trump, you don't participate. There's no point in participating in those debates. I don't see any
political most people,
mention.
Including Fox News hosts, called it looked like middle schoolers up there.
It was terrible.
Yeah. From the beginning, it was like little kids screaming over each other.
Why? I mean, I'm trying to figure out what
Because you had people who we know personally, like Tim Scott, try to act like tough guys. That's not their personality.
No, he could be tough, but
he's not a tough guy. Right. And so he's trying to go after Nikki Haley over what blind she hung as governor of South Carolina. You know, that kind
no,
of
no, it was the blinds in UN office.
UN office
that were already ordered by the GSA
yeah, just
previously.
Just goofy stuff like that.
Ridiculous.
And again, when it gets that petty, first of all, people start turning it off. Like I talked to Tulsi Gabbard about it. I think that most people, she made it through. She's a Fox News contributor. She made it through 40 minutes. And she went on Fox and said it, too. Not just on her show. She went on Fox and said it. And Jesse Waters said it. I mean, Fox News primetime host said they could not make it through.
Watching
it. It looked weird. The people acted weird. And it makes Donald Trump that much more serious, and that this whole group much more like, well, as Donald Trump said, he doesn't think he's going to choose one of these people
as VP.
Because
right.
they have all cheapened themselves. When you got rapping Vivek Ramaswamy up there who's never voted an election before. I mean, it's a kind of a goofball parade.
This is a problem the Republicans though have. I mean, the Democrats are more
they wouldn't have 16 people.
Well, they run a tighter system.
Yeah, I mean, because they have super when she was up there trying to be like the outlier, they gave her 6 minutes a debate.
Right.
So I mean, they made sure she did not have much time to speak to the people.
All right.
Republicans, on the other hand, were giving time out to people I've never even heard of.
Right. Like the governor of North Dakota?
Yeah, he's a successful guy, but he hasn't built a national profile.
I don't even know how he's getting
on. He has
no
business running for president. He has no national profile.
No. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go to Andy, who's calling in Florida.
Hey, Andy. You're on the show.
Hi, my question is if you guys can maybe inform your viewers if there's any alternative solutions regarding the civil case if Donald Trump is able to appeal. Any commercial real estate broker in South Florida would not value that property at $18 million. You know, the brokerage 101, you don't use an appraisal. You use the fair market value of a property based off of comparable roles in an area. And I think that's just you got to do your due diligence. And I don't think the judge is, obviously, in this case, real estate savvy. This is obviously very political. Is there any way Trump is able to appeal? What are his solutions?
Well, I think what they have to do at the trial is they've got to put on real estate, exactly what you said, Andy, put on real estate appraisers, people that are in the business of appraising real estate, and take a couple of examples. And one of the examples I think you have to use is Mar-a-Lago, because that's one that's getting the attention. And a real estate appraiser gets up there who's credentialed and does work in Palm Beach in South Florida and says, this is what it's worth, Judge. So the fact that you said it was worth $18 million, with due respect, Your Honor, you're totally wrong. And then, so you start chipping away at it. That's why this trial is going to take 3 months. You put up all of the experts. I'd get the banks that lent the money. They did appraisals. You think they took Donald Trump's appraised value of the property? They don't do that for your home, okay? Where the residence you're living in, if you bought a house, they don't say, oh, just pick an appraiser and let us know what it is. That bank selects the appraisers. And it's a complicated process when it's commercial real estate. So that's why, so before you talk about appeals, you got to go through and try this case, and that's what's going to happen. So we'll see what happens, but I just think, Jordan, I look at it and I see it just another election attempt. I don't think this is going to make him not the nominee. If that's what their plan is.
No, this again, in a civil matter, when people are trying to say that, again, you don't have to be a billionaire or even a multimillionaire to realize that Donald Trump has properties that are worth more than $10 million. And this whole idea of who is he defrauded $250 million?
Well, they're not saying, but see, so what's so weird about the restraint, different about the New York statute is where in most states you'd have to show harm to a victim, a bank, insurance company, whoever. In New York, that's not the law. So there's no one was harmed. All the loans were repaid. And none of these banks brought any kind of actions against Donald Trump saying you fraudulently induced us to commit for the loan. None of that happened. All right, let's go ahead and take Julie's call out of Florida.
Yeah, hey, Julie, welcome to
getting a lot of calls out of Florida because you're taking Mar-a-Lago personally. Hey, go ahead, Julie.
Hello there, guys. Love you. Watch you every day. My question is, you guys have been so spot on legally. I just totally admire what you're doing. What is your gut feeling on how this is going to turn out for him?
On the New York case or just generally?
No, in the New York case only.
I think this judge has already decided. I'd still build the record because I'm thinking the Court of Appeals and at the Appellate Division, which is the intermediate court, and the Court of Appeals, which is their highest court. That's their Supreme Court, is the Court of Appeals in New York. I've litigated, argued cases there. I think that even in New York, they're going to say the judge was wrong if this is the way he ends up ruling. So you've got to make the record. So right now, that's what they're doing. By the way, we should announce a little win in Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's right. Again, this is a case out of the 14th Amendment. And there's this individual. There's some that are being filed by groups, some being filed by individuals. There's this individual, James, I think Castro is his name. Justin?
Right. Castro.
Yeah, John. And he's filing these cases around the country. But now he started to dismiss them. And he dismissed one right in Oklahoma, right as we were filing our intervention.
We filed the intervention, he dismissed.
Yes, dismissed. So he canceled his case out there and some other states as well before even had a chance to look at those. We'll see what he does in West Virginia next.
So this is the reason I want to thank our champions, your ACLJ champions. That means you're a monthly donor of the ACLJ because we're able to do these cases because of you. You want to be a champion for life, for liberty, for freedom? Make your gifts a monthly gift. We're encouraging you to do that. You go to aclj.org/champions. That's aclj.org/champions. Your monthly donations keep us in the fight. We filed a lawsuit, as you know, to defend these whistleblowers. It's aggressive litigation. We could not do it without our ACLJ champions. And that is, a champion is someone who donates each and every month. You could do that by going to aclj.org/champions or even at the website, and there's a button there as well. Back with more in a moment.
Secuware, take your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. There is other news occurring today as we speak. Of course, you got President Trump in a civil trial underway, but also a move. We talked about this last week. There was no government shutdown, at least for the next 45 days. So we were talking to you on air. It looked like there was going to be a government shutdown. Well, Democrats actually ended up bailing out some House Republicans, including Kevin McCarthy, and making sure that there was a stopgap measure put in place. Again, it's for 45 days. Now, there was also a lot of talk about what would Gavin Newsom do about this California Senate seat, because
he's decided.
Sometimes they don't fill it right away. Other times when you've got the Senate this closely divided, we thought it would be very quick, like even before a funeral, and it is. And they have announced who it will be. It is the head of former head of one of the largest pro-abortion groups outside of the actual Planned Parenthood organization, but the largest political pro-abortion group in the country.
And she's not a resident of California yet. She will be before she's sworn in. Cece, what do we have on this?
Yeah, so Miss Butler, who is the replacement, she was the head of Emily's List, which is literally the nation's largest resource for women in politics, but only if you're a Democrat and you're pro-abortion. They've raised almost $1 billion to make sure that pro-abortion Democrat women are in seats in government from the city council to the vice president. So once again, Governor Newsom didn't do what was best for California. He didn't do what was best for women. He did what was best for abortion, which is right par for him.
Yeah, he didn't pick the person, you know, that's most familiar with the issues facing California that would represent them in the United States Senate.
She has a property there, but so she'll be able to switch, I guess, her residency. But this is not someone who's been living there and understands the issues California's face.
No, and you got to understand, he's made an abortion choice. I mean, when you talk about Emily's List, and see, you need to talk about this. You're talking about the largest, probably, they're not Planned Parenthood as far as doing the abortions themselves, but as far as the kind of the publicity arm, the activist arm, they're the biggest.
Absolutely. They are the arm that funds pro-abortion candidates. And like I said, from city council to the vice president, they make sure that pro-abortion candidates, that's the only thing that they care about. If you're a Democrat, you're a woman, and you're pro-abortion, they have raised almost $1 billion to make sure that these people get into these offices.
This issue is front and center. The Republicans haven't been handling it great since the reversing of Roe versus Wade. So let people who are even better at professionals at talking about it go and kind of put put the spear in, if you will.
You think that the move, it sounds like the move was done for a national political move, not for a state one, which you wonder with Gavin Newsom.
Oh, yeah, this is to appease.
He's the candidate in waiting.
Yeah, and he's appeased the entire pro-abortion movement. He's put one of their own as the U.S. senator.
Because a lot of people thought it was going to be somebody in California. The person, she will serve for 1 year, basically.
Yeah, no one imagined.
Then there'll be a primary.
No one imagined that it would be anyone who was running. Now, what's interesting here is she did not make a pledge not to run. So if she gets a national profile of this, Gavin Newsom could be bypassing Adam Schiff and some of the other candidates in California because he's giving her a profile as a U.S. senator.
Which also means that they understand, CeCe, that the abortion issue for the Democrats actually is doing very well for them.
Absolutely.
And our team is getting, and we're getting clobbered, let's
absolutely.
Be honest.
Absolutely. And to be a Democrat now and to hold office now, you have to be pro-abortion. We've seen some Democrats who maybe have some pro-life stances, and they get absolutely vilified by the Democratic Party. So this is absolutely, you have to be a sworn protector of abortion to have any kind of Democrat support.
You know, the thing I don't understand, and I really don't hear, is, well, I mean, I do understand it. We saw Roe versus Wade overturned, and then what happened was the pro-life, some, not all, we advise caution. Let the opinion settle in. Yeah. Don't do anything radical on the state law changes, as you know, on constitutional members. You know, I read an interesting article over the weekend. Every amendment that was pro-life that was put up for election, every single one of those lost, which means the abortion side every single time won.
Yeah. What I think we did wrong is we relied too much on voters without doing the voter education. We knew we were going to be outspent, and what they did was they told people it wasn't just about abortion. It was, if you had a miscarriage, you're going to be investigated criminally because that could be, again, a crime punishable. And so then anyone...
And then we had some people saying that.
Yes, there are people all around. There are people at churches. I mean, I heard this in Kentucky, heard this in other states as well, where that was going around their church. That if you had a miscarriage, you could be investigated as a criminal because, oh, did you take some medicine you weren't supposed to take? Did you engage in some higher risk behavior and cause this miscarriage to occur? That was not part of this legislation at all. There was, again, you've seen now these hubs of abortion develop around states that do not allow abortion. So here in Tennessee, which has right now banned all abortions, but there are abortion hubs all around us and hubs around the country.
All right. So the appointment of this individual clearly was to pacify that part of the base.
Absolutely. And that is their base. The biggest base for Democrats is pro-abortion. And Jordan's absolutely right. We were outspent and outspun. They are great at spinning the narrative, and they do it every time to confuse people, and they won on it.
Yeah, they won into pretty red states. It wasn't like they just targeted the bluest of blue states where they were going to actually expand abortion rights. They went into states which were more purple, and they went into red states as well. So in Ohio, South Carolina, in places like when you looked at, Kentucky, these votes, they went down. They went down hard, the amendments for life. Now, where you see victories for life are in states like Tennessee, which went through the state legislature. So it was your representatives voting,
that's a lot better decision. That's a lot better decision.
Well, in the short term, yes, because you elect them to be more educated on these issues as your representative.
All right, I want to do something, though, and Jordan and I and CeCe as well, our entire team, want to say thank you. We've got a video that I want to play, if we can play it. This is our thank you to our ACLJ champions. Those of you that support the ACLJ each and every month with your recurring gifts. Take a listen.
Some people think champions are born.
That it's a title that requires something only a handful can ever possess.
But being a champion only requires a decision.
Choosing what is right.
Even when the loudest voices in the room say it's wrong or that it can't be done.
And then following it through. No matter the cost.
It can be a difficult stand.
But it's one any of us can make, including you.
Including you.
Including you.
Including you.
You can change things. You can make a difference.
You can be a champion.
We can't do what we do without you.
By becoming a monthly donor, you can become a champion of life.
A champion of liberty, a champion of freedom.
Please join us.
Please join us.
Please join us. Become an ACLJ champion today.
So this month we're launching something very special, and today we have that message and a first of thank you to those 15,000 of you that are already monthly donors, recurring donors to the ACLJ. So I want to say thank you. We want to personally recognize you. You are a champion of life, of liberty, and freedom. You're an ACLJ champion because you're supporting us each and every month with your recurring monthly gift. So you know we're handling the most complex litigation you can imagine. Stuff we never even thought that would be litigated is now being litigated. And we're doing that. But we need you to become part of that team. If you're not a sustaining monthly member, that means if you don't give each and every month, it can be any amount of money, please go to aclj.org/champion to donate and join the fund. Become an ACLJ champion today. That's our group of monthly donors, and you'll be a champion for life, of liberty and freedom. And again, just go to aclj.org/champion to become a monthly donor, and you could do it automatically at aclj.org. Another half hour of the broadcast coming back, so just stay tuned.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You got Donald Trump is in court, but not on a criminal matter.
There you go, a victory.
It's a civil court case, but they are trying to take away properties like Trump Tower, Central Park West.
It's a disgorgement of the entire Trump organization.
Yeah, Trump Org. And again, you got this district court judge, Supreme Court judge, which is like a district court in New York, but they call them that.
Yeah.
Yep, the state court system. And you know, he's laughing today when they get photographed. This is about taking someone's entire business away. You're going after his family as well, both of his sons. Again, it's kind of hard to imagine how he's going to get a fair trial out of this judge. But even the whole system in New York. Now, there has been some goofy decisions made by this judge that may have actually hurt this attorney general's, I guess, campaign against Trump in the courts using the legal system lawfare to go after Donald Trump. And I think some of that is by saying, you know, Mar-a-Lago's worth $12 million.
Well, I mean, these are weird. Look, there's going to be a trial now, and they're going to set that up.
A lot of apartments in New York are worth more than $12 million.
I mean, they're going after him criminally to affect his liberty, which affects the campaigns. Yeah. Okay. Because your liberty interests are at stake. When I say liberty interests, you can go to jail if you're convicted.
It also sounds bad when you're running. You've got
40-something counts of criminal cases. 91. And then you go after his business, so you destroy his livelihood. So it's liberty and livelihood. And then you've got these 14th Amendment cases that we're involved in at the ACLJ, and we've had a victory in Oklahoma where the plaintiff withdrew like moments after we entered. We filed a motion to intervene, and bingo, it was a case closed. So this is for real. I mean, and we're handling these on a massive numbers because this, no matter what your view is on who should be the nominee, the idea that you would disqualify somebody because an individual says so fights against everything the Constitution sets forth. We're taking calls already at 1-800-684-3110. So if you want to talk to us, give us a call, 800-684-3110. Let's go to Washington State. Dion's on the phone. Dion, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, Dion.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I was doing a little thinking, and with these various processes and appeals and different cases, and I'm looking at it time-wise.
Yep.
And eventually, there's no doubt in my mind it'll hit the Supreme Court. I was wondering if you could elaborate on the timing and
You want to know how long the look, the trial that goes forward, this trial started now, the one on the civil case in New York, it's going to be over with by Christmas. And then the appeals start, and that'll take years. On the criminal cases, there are some of the defendants are going to trial October 23rd. Kenneth Chesbrough and Sidney Powell. They're going to trial in Fulton County in 23 days. 22 days. Those trials are going in 3 weeks. Now, when will it go to President Trump? Probably after the first of the year, but before the election. So I think you'll see two major trials, three. The civil case in New York that's going on right now. The RICO case in Fulton County, Georgia, will be tried, I think, before the election. And I think the January 6th case or the documents case out of Florida, one of the two will go to trial as well. This is a shot to eliminate this guy from being president.
Yeah, and it's a multiple angle kill shot. I mean, you got it again. You go from state courts, state AGs, U.S. attorneys. You've got it from all these different departments. You got multiple, 91 counts. Jack Smith has brought. This is someone who has tried to take down so many political actors before in the past
and lost.
And lost, but most of the time lost on appeal.
Yes. What happens is he may get a jury. Although in the Edwards case, he could not get a conviction.
Yep.
In the Mendez case, same thing, couldn't get a conviction. In the McDonald case, the governor of Virginia, he got a conviction. It was reversed by the Supreme Court 9-0. Why? Because the theories he puts forward are so bizarre. Now, having said that, let me do a thank you. We have 15,000 ACLJ members that donate each and every month. They're our ACLJ champions. They're champions of life, they're champions of liberty, and they're champions of freedom. And we want to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. And this month, we're launching our Champions campaign. So if you'll go to aclj.org, if you're not already a sustaining member, aclj.org/champion, Or go, there's a, on the website, there's also a banner there you can go to and become a monthly donor, no matter what the amount. We with 15,000 sustaining members, we want to have 30,000 over the next year. We want to double it. ACLJ.org/champion.
Welcome back. That's a second. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-31. There's talk about Newsom, too, because we talked about this on Friday. There's this talk about a government shutdown, the importance of filling Dianne Feinstein's seat soon after she passed away. So this sometimes it goes weeks.
That was elder abuse, by the way, what they did to her.
Yes. I think for the last year and a half, the fact that she they brought her back to Washington, D.C. a couple of these times after having obviously serious medical events. She didn't like she could see, didn't look like she knew where she was.
I thought it was embarrassing for the senators.
What you also know is that you elect that senator. They choose their staff to advise them. You do not choose their staff to vote for you. And I think that's where people have real questions. Now, that's done. Gavin Newsom's made his choice. It's someone who doesn't even live in California, so they'll be changing their residency. They do have property there, so technically they'll be able to do it in time. And it's, of course, the former head of the nation's largest pro-abortion political organization.
Emily's List.
Emily's List.
Yeah, unbelievable. We've got a call coming in on this, and we're taking that call at 1-800-684-3110. Heather is calling from California on line 3. Go ahead, Heather.
Hey, comment. So I just wanted to say I'm absolutely, we're not surprised that, you know, Newsom is going to possibly bring in this lady who's not even a Californian. And it's right. Just so ridiculous, you know, about Newsom. And we are so convinced that Larry Elder won. So there's just so much crookedness, which I'm not surprised about. But I wanted to let the rest of the country know, don't forget about California, because, you know, there are lots of conservatives here. And we just, and especially I live in Orange County. So Trump coming in to Anaheim a few days ago, I mean, just gave us a lot of hope, even if you don't want to vote Trump.
By the way, I'll say something to you, Heather. Our largest, if you looked at the ACLJ's donor map, okay, where donors reside, California is our number one state.
Yep.
Part of that is because we're on some big stations here. KKLA, K-Bright, K-Fax. I mean, we're on a lot of stations there. Part of it is when we first started years and decades ago at the Trinity Broadcasting Network, and we were on there frequently. Their base was in Tustin, California. So we have a very big support base in California. And that's why, like these crisis pregnancy centers we've supported, a lot of those come out of California, and we do a lot of work in California and continue to. So we're gonna not give up hope on that as well. We do need to announce that we had a win here. These 14 amendments cases, which is another attempt to get Trump off the ballot, have been filed across the country by this lawyer last name Castro. I think it's, what's the first name, Will?
John.
Yeah, John Castro. He's filed these. We just filed. We're representing the Colorado Republican Party, the Oklahoma Republican Party, the West Virginia Republican Party, and there's another one that we're about to represent.
Yeah, Minnesota, we're filing an amicus brief there.
Yeah, we filed an amicus brief in the Minnesota case. Colorado's going to trial unless the motions to dismiss are granted at the end of this month, so we're getting ready for that right now. But in Oklahoma, we just filed our motion to intervene. In fact, there it is, and there's the notice of dismissal. So we filed our motion to intervene, and literally, I think, hours later.
Yeah, it was later on Friday evening, so we wanted to hold it for you for Monday, so we could explain, too, that this is not over. This is one of the states, and remember, we're seeing this multi-state kind of push by this individual and also organizations. What we want to make sure is that we are ready to go, and it looks like those states that are going to take it, we'll see what happens in West Virginia. And that's a state I could see him pull this kind of move too. But Colorado was brought by an organization based out of Washington, D.C.
Big organization called Crew.
That's
going to litigate. This is real litigation.
That's different from him. Yeah.
And that's going to go to the Supreme Court.
And that will be the case that really is the deciding factor on this 14th Amendment issue, and secretaries of state deciding that your vote for Donald Trump can't be counted even if you wrote it in.
All right. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go to Dee, who is calling from California. Hi, Dee.
Hi. Listen, my question is this regarding, of course, with Senator Feinstein's passing, and Newsom didn't waste time, but he's putting this person from Maryland, I understand, who just recently came here. Now, isn't there a residency law regardless to be in any government position, regardless of representative, senator, what have you?
That's controlled by state law, and residency in California is if you have property out there and you say, I'm now a resident of California, you're a resident of California. Here's what he did. He did not pick the person that would be most relevant to protect the interests of people in California.
he picked the person that would protect the abortion industry, because that's the base to which he's playing, because he's looking at his situation as governor of California much further. I'm not surprised he went outside of the jurisdiction of California to select somebody, because he's looking like a guy that's going to run for president.
Yep.
If the opportunity avails itself with Joe Biden.
Don't actually pick someone who's seeing the crime, who's seeing the cities be destroyed, who's seen the values, the businesses be destroyed, who has dealt with the border before. Pick someone from the Mid-Atlantic, from D.C. basically, swamp, who runs a big abortion organization.
Exactly right. All right, we're taking more calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're going to keep our phone lines open for the next segment, too. You can call us as well at ACL at 1-800-684-3110. Joanne is calling from Ohio. She's on line 4. Joanne, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Thank you for everything you do. I have read and I have also seen on media that the Senate Judiciary Committee, that the Republicans on that committee have the ability to stop Feinstein's replacement from being on that committee. I mean, it might give us some power that we do not have in the Senate if it's an even committee. I mean, shouldn't the senators encourage that? And can they do it is my main question.
Republicans have said they won't allow, they're not going to allow the replacement because the replacement wasn't elected by the people. They don't have to allow that committee seat to be filled. So that could be the biggest downfall of electing these individuals, which California's did when they were 84 years old to serve 6-year terms. It is that when you put them on major committees, you don't have to have an unelected senator on one, and Republicans don't have to acquiesce to that replacement being there, which means you get a divided Senate Judiciary Committee, which means you never know when you're going to get a Supreme Court nominee or something. There's going to be a major vacancy, and you don't have to let the person through.
This goes to a generational issue, and I think this is important to talk about, because we saw this at the Supreme Court, and I had a tremendous amount of respect for the late Chief Justice William Rehnquist. I mean, I appeared before him for 3 decades. But at the end of his life, when he was on final, he still was serving. And I got to say something, and it's the same thing with Dianne Feinstein. I thought what they did to her, forget the politics, I'm talking about the humanity of this.
Yeah.
Why would you do this? First of all, you live in a state where the governor's a Democrat. He's going to pick a Democratic replacement. But, you know, in our political life, we're seeing the Democrats are likely to renominate Joe Biden to be the Democratic nominee. He's going to be 82 years old at the time he's running. Donald Trump is not a spring chicken, but is a lot more active.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, people are saying this is a generational problem. And then you've got the complication coming here, which I find very interesting. And I'd like to get our information. I'd like to hear from our members on this. Give us a call at 800-684-3110. RFK Jr. is talking about running now as an independent. Or maybe the Libertarian Party, which would be on all 50 states. And we'll get into the politics of what that can mean. But I want to know your reaction to that, folks, about RFK possibly running as an independent. We'll keep the phone lines open at 1-800-684-3110. On the Republican side, you've got, as Jordan said previously, you've got a number of Republicans are trying to eliminate Donald Trump's ability to run. And then you've got the whole lawfare against him to try to affect his life and liberty.
Meanwhile, on top of that, you've got Republicans who want to take down Kevin McCarthy this week. So it is a messy time inside the Republican Party.
Why are they doing this?
I think, again, you've got these Republicans, and again, I'm not questioning that they're conservative. I do question, do they actually care about what's best for the country? Don't even put that ahead. Do they even care what's best for the Republican Party? I would say no. Grin and bear it. You can't get the nominated to this. You don't have enough people to get the votes. And if you're going to replace Kevin McCarthy with his majority whip, you think you're going to be getting something different?
It's just hurting yourself. So again,
Democrats love this.
Yeah, they do love this. So we're going to, last segment of the broadcast, open phone lines on any topic. But I'd like to hear what people think about this RFK running as an independent, and also what's going on in the Republican Party with Kevin McCarthy. 1-800-684-3110. I also want to take a couple of moments here. We need to do this because, you know, the cases we've now taken in the last 3 months, Jordan, have been probably the most complex cases of our 40-year existence at the ACLJ. I mean, these are complex stuff. 14th Amendment, Section 3, there's not a lot of law, and we're making law. Representing whistleblowers in a process that starts at the Court of Appeals, one step from the Supreme Court. That's where the litigation starts. We've bolstered our team. We brought in some of my colleagues that represented the former president to serve a counsel or a special counsel with the ACLJ. We're able to do that because of our ACLJ champions. Who are the champions? These are individuals that donate each and every month to the ACLJ. They're champions of life, they're champions of liberty, and they're champions of freedom. They give a monthly donation. This month, we're launching our sustaining monthly donor program. And I just want to take a moment again to thank those of you that have already done it. They're already champions. There's 15,000 of you. And I want to encourage 15,000 more of you out there to do the same thing. That is, become an ACLJ champion by donating each month. If you're not a sustaining member, let me encourage you to go to aclj.org/champion to donate. And you can get a recurring, make that a recurring donation each and every month. That's the base upon which we build for these major complex litigation that end up at either the state Supreme Court or the U.S. Supreme Court. So we're encouraging you to become a champion of life, of liberty, and of freedom.
Yeah, we want you to do that at aclj.org/champion. You can donate today and join the fight. Become an ACLJ champion today. It is key to our work. aclj.org/champion. We are taking your phone calls in the final segment of the broadcast day, 1-800-684-31-TIME. You still have time to join us on the show, but you better call that number now, 1-800-684-3110.
You know, we get callers and viewers from all over the country, but also all over the world. We had a caller his name was Henry, that is watching from Singapore. He's watching us on YouTube, and he said, "I wish you all the best in everything you're doing, and we are watching you and supporting you in Asia." You know, you realize the reach of these social media platforms, and that's why we're investing, by the way, at the ACLJ, in reaching more avenues, more vehicles. We're now on Twitter Live, X it's now called, where you can watch the broadcast. And I've seen it go from 2,000 or 3,000 people a day to 5,000 or 7,000 people a day, which doesn't sound like a lot there, but when you add them all up, it becomes hundreds of thousands of people each and every day. By the way, we've added about 35 new ACLJ champions. Those are you donating each month, just today so far. If we could average 50 or 60 a day over the course of a year, we're going to get exactly to the goal we want to get to. So I want to encourage you to do exactly that. We did say we take your phone calls. The president is on trial in New York on the civil case. The Speaker of the House may try to remove him. I mean, it's tumultuous to say the least. And then we've got this litigation going on all over.
The can did get kicked down the road on the government shutdown at least 45 more days.
I think that's a positive to get that out. Let's go to Wendy, who's calling in Colorado. And we are taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Wendy, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi. So my question is, I born and raised in Colorado, and I've always been registered to vote in Colorado.
Yes.
If this should happen, that they do take Trump off of the ballot in Colorado, I am willing to give up my voter registration and claim residency in another state. If I do that, is it going to get messed up in the system, though, and then my vote will not count? Because
well,
it
you
looks
have
like
to be a you can't vote there unless you're actually a. You'd have to move and become a resident of that state.
Some states have different rules on like how much.
But you have to be a real resident of the state, so that's not a viable option, and that's why we're litigating that case. Because Wendy, we don't want you in a situation in Colorado where you feel like you've got to move to vote for the candidate of your choice, which kind of proves the point of what's ridiculous about a self-executing clause, and I'll explain that in a moment, of the 14th Amendment's disqualification clause. Self-executing means there is a provision of the law. There's a law that says you can get somebody and there's a conviction, that is a basis upon which you cannot run for office. Now, here's the problem. They're arguing that it's self-executing. You don't have to actually have litigation to determine that someone committed an insurrection. You just have to have some Secretary of State agree to it.
They think it was.
I am confident even in Colorado we will see victory. It may not be at the trial court. It may be at the Court of Appeals or their Supreme Court or ultimately the U.S. Supreme Court. But I am confident we are going to see victory there. So do not move. I want to encourage you not to move. All right, let's go ahead and
this
take.
This is important because this is a primary attack, and in primaries, it doesn't matter if you live in a blue state, a purple state, or a red state. Your primary votes are very important, and that's kind of how you in a blue state or purple state can still have a significant role in the Republican Party, because you can still have a significant role in who the Republican nominee is for President of the United States. It's why you're seeing President Trump right now and some of the other candidates for the Republican Party, but especially him. He's going to California. He's going to states that aren't necessarily states you're going to win in the election, general election, but there's a lot of primary votes there.
So here's what I'm finding interesting, and then you got the Republicans kind of, I think, aiming at each other with this attempt to remove Kevin McCarthy as the speaker. Listen to this question that was asked by Jake Tapper, CNN, to Matt Gaetz.
You need 218 votes to get him out of the speakership. You don't have 218 Republican votes. You're going to need Democrats. Let's start with the Republicans. How many Republicans do you have?
Well, enough so that when you host this show next week, if Kevin McCarthy is still the Speaker of the House, he will be serving at the pleasure of the Democrats. He will be working for the Democrats. The only way Kevin McCarthy is Speaker of the House at the end of this coming week is if Democrats bail him out. Now, they probably will. I actually think that when you believe in nothing, as Kevin McCarthy does, everything's negotiable.
You know, here's a problem with this, with all respect to Congressman Gaetz. This is less than we're a year away from the election for president of the United States. The Republicans are looking like the party of disorganization and chaos. And that debate that took place a week ago underscored that.
Yeah.
That was horrific in my view. So anyways, that's my view on that. Let's go ahead. We're taking your calls. Connie's calling from Pennsylvania. She's listening on radio. Connie, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, my name is Connie. I'm calling from Pennsylvania. Question.
Yes.
If RFK Jr. runs as an independent, is it possible that he could get enough Democrat votes that would help Trump win? Remember when Ross Perot ran?
Yeah, and but that hurt. George H.W. Bush ended up not being the president about that. The question I have, Jordan, is, and Connie's is a good one.
I think
does it get votes for Biden or does it hurt Donald Trump?
I think it could be a kind of non-factor because it takes away from both.
Okay, so that's an interesting.
So
point.
It's kind of a voter who could go either way. And so, but they're not even people who would necessarily vote. So it could moot itself out. But I know Democrats are worried about it and Republicans are worried about it. So right now, it's not clear yet, Terry, who would actually get those votes. What is clear is that he hasn't made the decision yet. He certainly put out the feelers like it's about to be announced. And he says if he's going to announce, I think it's October 19th or something like that, somewhere around the next couple of weeks. So we will know if there's going to be. You know, we don't get many legitimate third-party runs. And when I say legit, I mean somebody who can get 20-25% of the vote. I think he can. And I think it's going to be a mix of non-voters, people who don't usually vote, liberals, and kind of far-right conservatives who don't trust the Republican Party. I'm just not sure. If you got Donald Trump as your nominee and you're one of those individuals, why are you voting for RFK? That's why I'm not sure. Now, if it was any of these other Republicans, I could see him doing better, actually.
Yeah, I know.
I think this is actually a time for him. The worst time for him to run is the independent because he's really only got a small percent of people. And I think it
but
might
you're right.
Just
I think he's got people
out.
In both parties.
Yeah, I think it kind of moves itself out.
Yeah, it could. David's calling on line one. David, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you. I have a question. Can Trump petition the Supreme Court to make a ruling that would cover all 50 states that since Trump has not been convicted of insurrection, that they cannot use the 14th Amendment to keep him off
okay,
the ballot.
Okay, so he cannot do it in a direct chat. You can't go directly to the Supreme Court. In fact, the individual that's brought these cases, the attorney Castro, he lost his case. He brought it to the Supreme Court, and they rejected it today. So, no, you have to go through the process, David, and that process includes... Okay, like what we're doing in Colorado and now in West Virginia, filed in other cases as well, taking it through the state court or the federal court system that'll eventually get it to the Supreme Court where we will be successful. Again, this month we are saying thank you to our ACLJ champions. You are the donors that give each and every month, your recurring donors, your champions of life, your champions of liberty, your champions of freedom. And we are trying to, we have 15,000 of you right now, which is fantastic. I want to double that in the next year. So we want to get that to 30,000. And we believe we could do it. And we're going to do it day by day. I checked today during the break. We've added about 35 or so new monthly donors to the ACLJ. These are people that are giving recurring gift every month. If you want to be a champion of life, of liberty, and freedom, and join our champions group, I encourage you to go to aclj.org/champion to donate and join the fight. You become an ACLJ champion. And let me tell you something, folks. When we take on these complicated cases like we're taking on right now, our ACLJ champions, that's how we can budget this out. That's how we can do this.
Yeah, like this 14th Amendment cases, these are going to be done before the ballots are printed. So you've got to be able to go all in when you say you're ready to take this case. You've got to be ready to go all in the moment you take the case because it's going to be fast-tracked all the way through the legal system. And you can't assume that they're just going to get tossed out of court. You have to assume you could end up at the U.S. Supreme Court. You need resources to do that. Our ACLJ champions make that happen. Sign up today.